my guest, and I'm happy to have him here, is he was planned during, as you well know, during the football season. This show gets chopped and canceled and shortened and abbreviated and whatever other word you want to use. And I had planned to have Dusty Tsang in here a few months ago when I, for one, thought the Bears were going to be lousy. It turns out not. So get ready for Bears fever. Dusty, it is a pleasure to have you in, finally.
Rick,
finally.
Thank you so much.
It's not like you haven't been on the show, but it's a pleasure to... You do such interesting things with... It's an online magazine publishing house called Stay Thirsty that you can find at staythirstymedia.com. And I ever hate to have you talk about this, but the reason for Stay Thirsty is it is born out of a terrible tragedy.
Yeah, my wife and I lost our only child, Ryan, in 2004. He had bipolar disorder. And we actually started a foundation in his honor to raise awareness and support research in the year 2004. And it's now in its 14th year. 2 years after Ryan passed away, his close friends who lived in Chicago, although none of them came from Chicago, called us up and they said, it was May of 2006, they said, we'd like to come over for dinner and we'd like to talk about Ryan. And I thought, wow, these kids are 25. Would I have done that at 25?
Yeah, and the answer is probably, we're about
no,
the same
yeah,
age. The answer is probably no.
No. And so they came over and my wife made dinner. And they started to talk about Ryan and things that Ryan liked. And Ryan had a philosophy to stay thirsty for things of the creative mind.
Yeah.
He'd actually seen the word stay thirsty written in cement at Schiller and Wells in Old Town.
Right. In the heart of Old Town.
Across from Orso's. And so growing out of that, we decided we'd start an internet rock and roll magazine. And the kids would come over every Thursday night for the summer. And we'd plan it out. Nobody had ever done anything like this. And we launched it September
1st. Well, that's early in the internet days, too, to my mind.
It seemed like it.
Yeah.
And so we launched it September 1st of 2006. No fanfare, nothing else.
Yeah.
We said we'd come and publish this magazine online once a month. And the kids would write reviews on concerts they went to and artists that our son liked. And we kept on doing that. And then about a year and something later, I engineered it so we became part of Google News. So, again, very early on.
Yeah.
And over a period of time, the kids drifted away and the magazine changed. And now it's really an arts and entertainment magazine, sort of a 21st century version of the Paris Review, if people have read that.
And or The New Yorker, I believe.
Well, oh, thank
and,
you. That's
no,
a nice
I'm dead
that's
serious.
A nice comment.
I'm dead serious
thank
about
you.
This. I've been following Stay Thirsty not since the early days, but the pretty early days.
Well, what's changed is, I mean, if you look on the site now, we have, as an example, let me get it up here, Robert Olin Butler,
yeah.
Pulitzer Prize winner, who went to Northwestern. He was I was 2 years behind him in the theater department, and he wrote some original material for us. We have Robin Green. You say, well, who's Robin Green?
I know who Robin Green.
Okay.
Tell the listeners.
Yeah. So Robin Green invented a little television show called Northern Exposure, and then she invented another one called The Sopranos, and now she's got Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
She's won 4 Emmys, 3 Golden Globes, and 2 Peabodys. So, and we also have Jim Ginsberg from CD Records here in Chicago. And his wife, Patrice Michaels. We have a thing from Patricia Barreto from the Harris Theater. We have a very interesting... We have a woman who is a concert violinist, goes all over the world. She writes a regular column for us. We publish quarterly. And she was in Vietnam, and she interviewed some of the people that she put on symphony orchestras with in Vietnam.
Take me back, Dusty Tsang, to the point where... Ryan's friend said, well, thanks, that's been fun. And you, talk to me about what inspired you to expand, because it could have been, Dusty, it could have been a very nice experiment, and it could have been fun for Ryan's friends, and it also could have been fun for the legacy. The foundation was certainly going to go on. But you seem to have been really energized and captured by this notion of covering That just, you know, it's going to come a long way from rock and roll reviews, I'll tell you that much.
Well, thank you, yeah.
And what was it that inspired you and made you, because I know so many ventures in those days of the internet that just evaporated.
Well, I think part of it was when I formed the company, I gave some shares to each of the kids, so they participated. We never had partners, outside partners. We never had a bank loan. So we were able to do what we wanted. And growing out of my background...
as an entertainment attorney.
Well, I started in theater at Northwestern, then went into radio, TV, film. Eventually became an entertainment lawyer and an intellectual property lawyer. So it was really natural for me to work in this area. And then I've learned so much and met so many just extraordinary people, from poet laureates to, you know, Grammy winners. And so what have I found? I found that the really successful ones that are not divas, we don't deal with the divas, the really successful ones are hardworking, they're smart, they're kind, and they're efficient.
Yeah.
Some of the best marketeers in the world are the old rock and rollers.
Oh, no question.
Oh, my God. These guys are great. And so it's been an honor, really, to work with these people. And they wanted, we're bringing out a book called Stay Thirsty Poets, Volume 1.
It's
just
about
after
time.
The first of the
yeah,
year.
It's about time.
But we have poet laureate Billy Collins in it.
Billy Collins is my...
Oh, my God, he's great.
If I had a chance to have a drink with Shakespeare, I would have taken that chance. But of all living contemporary poets, I would pick Billy Collins to sit at a bar. I love Billy Collins' work.
He did a TED Talk, and he does a poem about a dog he had.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the dog never really liked him. And it tells the story of how the dog tries to sabotage everything he's doing.
That's funny. So let me tell you, people, too, out there, if you were looking, if you're one of those people who goes, I hate poetry because you had to learn it in high school or something, sample any Billy. I think he's the most accessible poet writing these days.
You can go on YouTube and see and put in Billy Collins and see him actually doing it. And he's spectacular. We have poet laureate Robert Pinsky. We have Pulitzer Prize winning poet Paul Muldoon. So plus we have some younger poets, but all prize winning. So, you know, it's come. I'm not sure how it happened, frankly.
Well,
it's just evolved.
Because I think you were not, Dusty, if I can say so, you were not pragmatic about it. You were not, I want to have the best internet magazine out there, and I want to make X amount of dollars, which is the reason most people started these things. I'm going to keep Mr. Tsang here for at least another half hour talking more about Stay Thirsty, which is also a book publishing arm. He's here with his lovely wife, Joyce, and I'm so glad to have him in here. I will tell you, hey, Bulls fans, enter your chance to win the ultimate VIP Bulls Night experience at chicagotribune.com/BullsQuiz. Is courtesy of the Chicago Tribune. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
When they begin.
Welcome back. That, of course, is the voice of Frank Sinatra. I did a show a couple days ago about having three saloon keepers on the show. Jeff McGill of the Billy Goat, late of the Billy Goat, Bruce Elliott of the Old Town Ale House, and Colin Cordwell of the Red Lion Pub. And I just thought Sinatra was a perfect person to play, being a saloon singer. It's my great pleasure to have Dusty Tsang in here. We are talking about, we will get to the foundation, but one of the wonderful outgrowths, if you can determine that such a thing, of the death of the 24-year-old son of Dusty and Joyce Tsang is Stay Thirsty Media. It is a magazine. It is a book publishing outfit. It is also a foundation. It is a spectacular art show. I guess this was the first one last year. An astonishing thing that we will talk about because Dusty's going to be here for a while. Back to my whole notion of the organic nature of this, and it did though, Dusty. it grabbed your interest as well as your heart in doing this, and you were able to not put the arm on, but make an entree to people who most magazines, frankly, wouldn't approach, I think.
You know, it was one of those things that it organically grew by itself.
Yeah.
And people, we've reached a point now where we have too many people who want to be in the magazine. And we're, you know, it's such an honor to work with these extraordinarily talented people and to learn from them.
Sure.
And to learn about their lives.
How does it work? Let me take us through, myself and the listeners, of... Obviously, you don't have a big office like the Tribune offices at the Prudential Building, but do you have a staff?
It's decentralized. The whole point of the internet is you don't need a big building. You don't need an office. We have people all over the world who have different assignments, and they will turn in a column. They'll do an interview. They'll do an interview of somebody in foreign countries. Again, this is the beauty of the internet.
No kidding.
And it is all content-based, and it's the quality of the content. So where we're not bogged down with gravity.
You're not bogged down with ad sales.
None of that.
Yeah.
And if you notice, there's no advertising on the magazine.
I know.
And so the magazine was never, I never believed that internet advertising was going to be a successful thing.
Well, you're the only one. Man, talk to the former publishers of American newspapers. Yeah, that was the salvation. That was the golden fleece.
I never understood how it would work. I really didn't.
Good for you.
And so I went the other way, which was let's concentrate on the content. Let's work with great people. And then we figured out another way to monetize,
sure.
Which is to publish books. And so it was in February of 2009, there was a day when Amazon made their Kindle software available for iPhones. So I said, wow, 25 million people suddenly could potentially buy a book. And we started a publishing company and started to attract people. And, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about writers. We've seen, you know, several thousand manuscripts, and it's interesting. It's like if you listen to a song on the radio,
yeah.
You can tell within, you know, 2 seconds whether you're going to like it or not.
No question.
And with these manuscripts, you can tell within the first paragraph whether the person can write.
Yeah.
And by the second one, whether they can hold your attention.
Right.
And by the third one, whether or not they're really going to keep you there.
You know, the interesting thing, too, is when you started the publishing aspect of Stay Thirsty was the time the conventional publishing business was absolutely imploding or exploding, however you want to determine that. And so I think you had out there a number. What used to happen, as you well know, is you could discover a young writer with talent, and publishing houses would then go about the business of nurturing this young talent by sometimes giving them a fairly decent advance, which would allow them to buy cereal, or by publishing their first book, which would empower them. You must have found that to be true. You must have found some writers out there who, except for Stay Thirsty Publishing, might not have ever gotten published.
Actually, I designed the business based upon the old Hollywood movie model, which is you find your young stars or starlets, you put them in movies, you teach them how to do things, you put them in movies, and you keep exposing them to the public until the public catches on.
Yeah.
And so we have taken debut authors and made them into number one Amazon bestsellers.
I know.
So,
name one. I mean, give me an example.
Stephen J. Griffel.
Sure.
He was, early on, we found him back in 2009. He wrote a book called 40 Years Later,
mm-hmm.
about a summer camp romance he'd had at the time of Woodstock, which was just down the road. And he reconnected with this woman 40 years later. And his book has sold over 55,000 copies. So another one, Matt Cattugno, wrote a book, The Last 24 Hours of His Father, who was one of the World War II generation.
Oh, wow.
And he's now transitioned into writing Westerns, and one of his Westerns has just taken off.
Do you wind up, I have to assume that you wind up or want, in many cases, to meet many of these authors face-to-face?
Most of them I haven't.
Really?
You know, it's such an interesting business,
wow.
too. So much is done by email.
Yeah,
by
sure.
email. I don't really actually talk to that many people either. And in the old days, you know, you had to go to lunch, you had to do this. Not anymore. Now it's really very much content driven.
Can you give me, without detailing any secrets, roughly the kind of deal that is made with your authors?
It's very simple. If you're a debut author, you get 25% of the gross. If you're an author with provenance, you get 50% of the gross. And we do it based on the gross because if you go back in the old days of publishing or movies, it was all based on the net.
Yep.
And the net was how the company would depreciate things and do other deals. This way, we get a statement from Amazon, and this is the number. We cut it in half or cut it in quarters, and that's it.
Are these print-on-demand?
We originally started only as a digital publisher.
Right, I remember that.
But then we transitioned into being a print-on-demand paperback. We distribute only through Amazon, but Amazon gives us enormous... We have bookstores all over the world, and they give us enormous marketing leverage.
Many authors I know who work for various... Amazon now has, you know, maybe 10 different imprints, could not... Mercer and something is one of theirs, could not be happier with working with than working with
that's
Amazon.
That's right. No, it's great.
And you too.
Absolutely. Right from the beginning, I was exclusive with them. But our whole arrangement was to go ahead and nurture writers, bring them up over time, and as they became more successful, their percentage got better.
Mm.
And that was it. And we tried to make the business part easy.
Sure. Have any authors abandoned you?
We've abandoned several.
That I can imagine.
Okay, no, there were some divas, and we just gave them back their book and unpublished it and said goodbye.
Yeah.
So
they were making demands on you.
I've done this.
Where's my spot on CBS this morning?
This too long. I only want to work with nice people, but ultimately, I want to work with people that know how to deal with that contract, that compact that the writer has with the reader.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something you do silently.
Sure.
Just the reader and the writer. And if they can do it right, it's magic.
Now, you must spend an inordinate amount of time with this, or you keep saying we, and I'm assuming part of that we is your wonderful
wife. Well, she does the foundation, so... I mean,
okay, you're not getting involved in this business. God love you for that. Joyce is sitting here listening to the two of us yammer.
We made a deal. We said we're going to modulate our schedule. We only work 7 days a week now, so yeah.
But it's got to be very time-consuming for you.
It is.
Yeah, but pleasantly so.
It is. But again, I get to work with these extraordinary people, and, you know, there's a lot to learn.
I will tell you that... No, I won't tell you that now. How many books have you published?
We've published 33. We've got a bunch in the hopper. And of the 33, four have become Amazon number one bestsellers.
Wow.
Which is, I think, a pretty good...
Do you offer... Does Stay Thirsty... I've never asked you this. A lot of things I haven't asked you before. Do you take the books as is, or do you, as the head of Stay Thirsty Publishing, say, I think chapter four doesn't really work? Or the creative collaboration that necessarily goes on between publishers and writers is an interesting one to me. Some publishers are incredibly overbearing, but...
We really look at things. We require people to turn it in pretty good order.
Sure.
But if the story, it's really the storyline. If there's an issue with that, we throw it back and say, we're not going to buy it unless you make some changes, your choice. And if you do that and it's up to speed and we think that it'll hold itself together, then we'll go forward.
And this is your aesthetic judgment.
I think it is, yeah.
That's fabulous. One of the Latin school can be proud. Latin, Dustin, we've known each other for more than 50 years. We'll continue on and talk a bit more. I think you've gotten if you're not intrigued enough to go to staythirstymedia.com, then I am not doing my job as a radio host. And from there, you will learn more. I want to talk more about the foundation, too, and this amazing Insights art show that was last year and is going to be again this year in October. Joyce is whispering.
A few years ago, a great event took place on Broadway when Miss Ethel Merman stepped before the footlights.
It's always good
on
to hear Frank Sinatra,
night,
but I rather hear him sing, but that was Frank Sinatra talking. We don't care. Dusty Tsang has, I think, given you a great, great overview of Stay Thirsty Media, which involves a magazine, quarterly magazine, and now some 30-some books through its publishing arm. Some of the authors you have published and continue to publish have bipolar disorder, do they not?
I want to say
you don't look for them.
Right, exactly. we certainly can identify when when we think somebody has it, because the way they perceive things, it's like with the art and the insights, if I may. So what we did, this was actually my wife's idea. We did a national competition for artists who had bipolar disorder to submit two-dimensional and three-dimensional works of art, and we had a national panel of jurors who decided, there were 325 submissions, who picked
the
top 20.
Did that number surprise you?
It did, really. Yeah. It really did. And then there was a family that contributed to the foundation so that each of the selected artists received a $500 grant.
Ugh.
But each of the artists also then had to contribute the winning piece to the foundation's permanent collection.
You have a permanent collection.
The foundation
has,
right, which will go on the road to help spread awareness about bipolar disorder.
What is the level of awareness of bipolar? I mean, everybody, I think, if you walked down on the street and said, "Hey, what do you know about bipolar disease?" People would say, "Yeah, it's I've heard of it, but."
The kids will know more than the parents.
Why is that?
Don't know. They just seem to be more.
The diagnosis, I mean, it's always interesting to me about the level of diagnosis. I mean, autism fascinates me because, you know, when we were kids, I certainly never had heard that word. But looking back, I obviously knew people who suffered somewhere on the spectrum. The diagnosis of bipolar, is it a difficult one to make?
Well, that's one of the purposes of the foundation, is to fund research. And with bipolar disorder, there is no empirical biomarker test. If you have cancer or diabetes, you can take a blood test and so on. So with bipolar disorder, especially in adolescence, it can take 10 years to get a proper diagnosis.
Ugh.
So during that period of time, you know, is it a truant teenager? Is it a teenager acting out? Is it something else? And so without a good diagnosis, it's difficult to move forward. So we want to go ahead and find a test that will then make it clear.
That's great.
And we're supporting research around the country.
Are you increasingly hopeful that that might be able to happen?
Well, of course you do,
but are you increasingly optimistic talking with various people in the medical field?
The answer is, I think so. I mean, for instance, one of the projects we have going at Mass General at Harvard, they take a 2-millimeter biopsy of skin, like you go to the dermatologist and he takes off a skin tag.
Yeah.
And then in a dish, they program your adult human skin cells to grow into neurons, just like in your brain.
Wow.
And they can eventually test those neurons to see which ones have bipolar disorder and which ones don't, and then potentially expose them to different molecules, drugs. Like if you had a bacterial infection,
they take a culture
and they say this antibiotic works. So we're pushing ahead with that.
Now, you were having in October your second Insights exhibition here. Will it be at the same place, Joyce? The Zola Lieberman Gallery, which is a great gallery space. And, well, you can get information about this. And some of these works are unbelievable. I wasn't expecting, like, lousy paintings, but Ryan's stuff is in multimedia just stunning. And he is next to Jonathan Winters. How did you get Jonathan Winters' stuff in this?
A friend of my wife's was a close friend of Jonathan Winters, and she inherited from him much of his art. And he had bipolar disorder.
Had he been diagnosed?
Yes.
He had.
Yes, he knew what he had. But for those people who are listening who have bipolar disorder who are artists, they can go to the foundation website, which is questforthetest.org, or they can put in Tsang bipolar on Google. And on the homepage, there is a link where they can click and go to, right now, the third competition is open. And there's no cost to enter, and they can upload 5 JPEGs and be part of this next round.
Wow, it's a stunning show, and you will be on. You will both be on. Joyce will get more airtime than you next time.
Well, I think that's a great idea. Good luck. You got to convince
her. In October. You also gave me a book here. This is one of your books. I don't know if it's the latest, but it's 30 words that will change your life. And it will change your life in probably 15 minutes because it's certainly an easy read. It's by S.I. Wells. And it's fascinating, Dusty. I find it fascinating. It gives you a word like bravery. And then it gives you, I don't know if these are definitions, but they're inspirations. So I'm going to pick bravery, which is chapter 13. Facing adversity cannot be avoided. Courage is the antidote to fear. Understand the moment you are in and understand the value of your convictions. This thing must be something of a sensation.
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, people, it's fascinating to see how people are using it in their daily lives. Or some people, there have been some therapists who have put it on their coffee table
sure,
and use it in their sessions. So people have taken it as a spiritual. They've taken it as a guidance. From the people we've talked to, and then there's some people that don't get it at all.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
They just absolutely don't have a clue.
Now, who is S.I. Wells?
He's one of our senior writers.
Yeah. What do you have to do to be a senior writer? You've been around for a long time. When I was named a senior writer at the Tribune, they said, oh, that must mean you're old. I go, no. It means I've been around for a long time. Right. You hold occasionally benefits for the foundation, do you?
Yes, not? Yes.
One is coming up.
The one that there are two in Chicago, one in May and one in June. The one in May is a medical briefing luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can find out information on
sure.
the foundation website. The one in June is the screening at the Museum of Contemporary Art of a documentary about a young fellow named Andy Irons, who was a three-time world champion surfer.
Wow.
Who passed away when he was 32. He had bipolar disorder. And it's just an extraordinary documentary. And we have actually one of the people that's in the film coming to be on a panel discussion afterwards.
Who obviously knew him, too.
Well, he was actually a doctor that they brought in.
But
we have a surfer who was in the movie, too, who may be coming up.
Wow, and you're going to screen that as a benefit
at the Museum of Contemporary Art. Exactly.
You've obviously seen the movie. Is it good?
The movie's fabulous. I mean, really, this was an extraordinary young man, and it was a tragedy.
How did he die?
Actually, of a heart attack, but he had opiate addiction. He had bipolar disorder. His brother is in the film. His brother was saying that one of the world championships he won strung out on drugs.
Wow.
That's how good he was. But he got married to a young woman who was just charming and wonderful, but I don't think she understood what she was getting into.
It is a fascinating world in which you live, and I am the tragedy of your son, Ryan's death. Any death at 24 is tragic, but the fact that he lives on in these inspiring ways is something that gives me gives me great hope. It really does give me great hope. It makes you and you especially work 7 days a week, but it certainly is the kind of work that I think you couldn't do this if it was just if you got in your head one day, hey, I think I'll start a magazine of rock and roll reviews.
We wouldn't,
As hip as you are, we wouldn't.
I mean, we laugh that Ryan is keeping mom and dad pretty busy. So
yeah, and you must.
We wouldn't be doing any of this.
You know, the other thing about it, not to get sentimental, but it's also a way to keep him firmly in both of your lives. If there cannot be a day where you don't think about it. Dusty, we've known each other for a very long time, and there are very few people in this world that I admire as much as you for what you're doing. I mean that. Go to StayThirstyMagazine.com, and you will be able to get all... Can they connect with the foundation through that site?
Actually, it's interesting. On the navigation bar of Stay Thirsty... you'll see the mission statement.
Yeah.
The manifesto.
It's in there, right.
And if you go down to the bottom, you click on a page about Ryan, and then at the bottom of that, you can find the foundation.
Well, it says here, learn more about the creative legacy of Ryan Lidsang. Thank you both. It's a great way to end this year.
Thank you so much.
Hopeful.
My what a pleasure. Thank you.
We're shaking hands, for those of you who can't see us on the radio. And Joyce, good to see you, too. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.